Today on CityCast DC, there's been a push to require that all DC childcare workers have college degrees, and the first set of new regulations go into effect today. But people who disagree with the law say that it's putting a lot of qualified people out of work. And today, we're hearing from two people with starkly different views on the issue as they both try to make their case. It's Thursday, December 1st, 2022. I'm Bridget Todd, and this is CityCast DC. I'm here with Councilmember Christina Henderson and Robert McNamara, a lawyer litigating the issue before this court. We know that under new rules, directors of child care centers will need a bachelor's degree and teachers will need an associate's degree. Why has this been such a contentious issue in the city?
And I think it's been a contentious issue because a lot of daycare workers don't have an associate's degree, and it's an enormously hard thing to get. I think it's easy to talk about college in the abstract and say that college is great. And, you know, I went to college, but I went to college when I was 18 and didn't have a family. And if you have a family you have to take care of, the time it takes to go and get a college degree is an awful lot of time. That's a huge burden. And it's a burden that's being imposed really without a lot of explanation. The question I always have about this issue is it wasn't like childcare workers were operating in the Wild West before the Office of the Superintendent imposed these requirements. They had to get what's called a CDA, a Child Development Associate credential. It's about 6 months of training just in how to take care of children. And the question is, why was that insufficient? And that's a question I've never really gotten an answer to. And I think if we're going to impose regulations that throw people out of work, particularly if we're going to impose them via a process that bypasses the DC Council, those are questions we should be able to answer. And I think that's why people are so up in arms about this. DC is already the most expensive childcare market in the United States. And the question is, why are we taking these steps that will raise prices while throwing innocent people out of work if we're not totally sure what it is we expect them to be learning when they go and get this new college degree requirement?
Councilmember Henderson, I want to bring you in because I know that you were supportive of this regulation. Why do you think that those previous credentials were insufficient?
Well, I think they were looking at the data. So if we back up just a little, this conversation around early childhood educators and credentials actually began around 2006, 2007, 2008, at the time when the District of Columbia was preparing to expand pre-kindergarten to 3- and 4-year-olds. And frankly, looking at the data, not just in terms of brain development and science, but also looking at the outcomes around kindergarten readiness, I think there was a conversation amongst the early childhood community in the district in terms of how do we improve kindergarten readiness. And that starts with making sure that from birth to 5, we are treating those opportunities and experiences as a learning opportunity for those young people.
So Robert, what's your perspective on that? It seems like Councilmember Henderson feels that this is somewhat data-driven and based on looking at the outcomes for children. What's your response to that?
So there are two responses on the data. One is if you read the whole study, if you go past the part about the outcomes for children whose caregivers have college degrees, the study also says that it's a huge problem that there's no set curriculum for what we mean when we say a college degree in early childhood education. Are you learning to teach math to 7-year-olds? Are you learning how to best care for 2-year-olds? We don't know. There is no curriculum. And so in that sense, requiring people to get that degree is requiring them to get an empty credential. They get a college degree. What did they learn in getting that college degree? We don't know. We can't say. There's no set curriculum. So that's problem one. And problem two is anytime you're looking at data about early childhood outcomes, the difficult thing you have to factor in is that some children are rich and some children are poor. And what the data really shows is if children have more expensive daycare, if they have caregivers who have formal credentials, those children tend to have better life outcomes. But those children also tend to be wealthy. So it doesn't follow that making people get an empty credential leads to better outcomes for children. What the data shows is that people who have more expensive daycare options have better outcomes because the people who are choosing more expensive daycare outcomes are rich people. And we can't respond to that data by essentially trying to make it illegal to be poor. The data just doesn't show that college degrees actually improve anything, because for college degrees to improve something, we'd have to know what the college degrees are teaching you. And we'd have to know what was insufficient about the CDA requirement in the first place. And we don't.
Can I ask a clarification? Are you in opposition to the CDA? Or are you just in opposition to the associates and bachelor degree requirement for center directors? Right? Because I think that has been a confusing part of this narrative, right? The child development associate's degree is a 6-month program. Some of it can be taken online. The classes can be taken in Spanish and Amharic. We offer scholarships for both the CDA and for the associate's and bachelor's degree, where lots of individuals, if you are a resident in the District of Columbia and you're working here, are getting these credentials for free, including stipends and the ability to purchase books and those kinds of things, right? And Bridget, to go back to your earlier question in terms of when this started, I feel like, you know, there is a lot of outrage in terms of, I think, lack of knowledge and how this is being framed, and this assumption that the District of Columbia is somehow this outlier who all of a sudden out of nowhere made this decision in terms of saying that educator quality is tied to student outcomes. When in fact, in 1998, when Congress, you know, did the Head Start Act, they required that 50% of Head Start teachers have their bachelor's degrees by 2003. And then go forward, when we reauthorized the Head Start Act in 2007, we said, no, we're going to take it down to early Head Start, which is from birth to three as well, and requiring that those educators have credentials as well. And so, you know, to Mr. McNamara's point around, you know, what low-income children versus wealthy children face, some of this was, for us, is an equity issue. This is our effort to level the playing field in terms of what is being offered in centers and homes across the district around educator readiness.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that this is an equity issue, but I think it's an equity issue for the workforce, which is like largely made up of women, largely made up of immigrants who are going to be thrown out of work because they're being told they need to get a college requirement. I mean, as a practical matter, what we're talking about here for DC daycare, because of the universal pre-K program, is caring for children ages 0 to 3. And the requirement is that they get a college degree that may or may not include any training at all in caring for children ages 0 to 3. And when the Office of the Superintendent first proposed these regulations, we went to them and we said, can you point us to anything that's not included in the CDA requirement that you think needs to be taught? And they told us, we think this will improve the quality of our workforce. But here's the thing. This isn't the superintendent's workforce. These aren't DC employees. These are private citizens who are working on behalf of private parents who choose to send their children there, and who, as far as we can tell, are perfectly satisfied with the care they're getting. We're throwing these people out of work in service of a credential that no one has ever been able to explain to me how it improves outcomes or what people are expected to learn. And we're doing it on the backs of hardworking people who are just trying to keep their jobs.
So are you suggesting that people who teach, say, kindergarten, for instance, don't need a bachelor's degree in order to do so? I'm trying to understand, at what point do we decide that the educator qualifications is tied to student achievement and student outcomes?
So I think the right point is to talk about the credential we're actually debating, which is the associate's degree requirement to teach children 0 to 3. If we're going to make a decision that throws people out of work, is we should have a darn good reason why. We should be able to say, yes, this will throw you out of work if you don't undertake hours and hours of additional training and take electives and college level math and European history. We're going to require you to do that, but we have a good reason. And here is the good reason.
The brand new Arbor at Tacoma is built for your most convenient urban living. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant Tacoma, D.C. community or comfortably retreat into a sleek sanctuary all your own, the kitchens have striking dark navy and white cabinets, and throughout the home, there are wood floors and smart home technology. Some homes even have a private outdoor space. With a quick walk to the metro, you can easily head into downtown or stay close and enjoy the retail that's on site. Located at 218 Cedar Street Northwest, the Arbor Tacoma offers brand new 1- and 2-bedroom condos starting in the upper 300,000s. Visit thearboratacoma.com for more information. That's Tacoma with a K. So thearboratacoma.com.
Let's be real. Lawsuits are not fun. But with Paulson & Nace, at least they're a little easier. Paulson & Nace is a DC law firm in every sense of the word. It was founded here in 1979. The two partners, Chris and Matt Nace, were both born here and are local leaders who care deeply about the DC community. Paulson & Nace handles medical malpractice, wrongful death, and other complex injury cases when someone has been hurt by the negligence of others. And they don't just settle every case. They'll go to court. They'll fight for you. Paulson & Nace has even been recognized as one of U.S. News' best law firms. So, if you have been hurt or have lost a loved one because of someone else's mistake or negligence, call Paulson & Nace for a no-obligation consultation. Visit www.paulsonandnace.com or call 202-463-1999.
I think that there is a question at the inherent part of this is around, does additional education and training add any additional value into the work that you're doing? And I think I also want to sort of take this back to the fact that this came, at least the initial qualifications around the early childhood education came from early childhood educators who were trying to professionalize their sector in order for them to demand more respect, to demand higher wages, and to for folks to not view it as just this pink collar work for which you can pay me minimum wage because it's only babysitting, right? We have a lot of time, I would say, between now and December of 2023. Like I said, the District of Columbia has funded so many scholarships to make this available to folks. I think that there have been delays in the past. And so for maybe some people thinking like we're not necessarily going to move forward here. But I think that for individuals who have gotten the scholarships and have gone through the programs, they do find value, not just in their day-to-day work, but also for the career trajectory of what they want to do in early childhood education. Perhaps someone doesn't want to just be an assistant teacher for all of their days. Perhaps they do aspire to be a center director and they want to own their own center. These requirements and the financial scholarships that we offer puts them on a path of a career ladder opportunity, as opposed to just saying you can only do this one thing.
So here's the thing about people who want to professionalize their sector. I understand the impulse. I recognize the value of a college education. And if you want to put yourself on a path to advancement, college education can be great. It can be a great way to improve your prospects. But the problem is with mandating it, is saying to someone who's currently working, you know, I get that you may not want a college education. You may not want to be on this path right now for reasons that are personal to you. And because you're making that decision, you're out of a job. I think that's the problem we're ultimately facing here. It's not that college is bad. It's not that college education is worthless. It's that mandating college, throwing people out of work because they don't have a degree, the substance of which we have no idea of, is, I think, a huge ask.
You keep saying we have no idea. Honestly, I mean, we know what the curriculum and course offering are for early childhood education for the associate's degree. And I know that sometimes, you know, I think people, oh, yeah, I got to take Shakespeare. What does that teach you? It's also about critical thinking and learning, something also that you are passing on to young children as well. I think the suggestion that any type of college is just, it's unnecessary from a mandatory perspective, I think is wrong, because we know we have lots of jobs that require some type of credential and specialization in terms of that. I do think early childhood is a specialization that requires a little bit more on that front.
I mean, you're certainly not going to get any argument from me that childcare workers do important work and they do vital work and they should be lauded. I have little kids myself, and I certainly appreciate everything that childcare workers do. And if DC wants to subsidize childcare workers, there are certainly less deserving targets of government subsidies in this country. But looking back at all of the wonderful people who have helped me care for my children over the years, never once have I looked back and I said, man, that person was lovely and really kind to my children, but darn it, I wish they'd gone to college. And there's just no reason to force people to go to college and to throw people out of work who do not have a college degree, which is what these regulations do, unless we can come up with a good, firm reason that says, if you get the college degree, you will learn X. Not it's a roll of the dice and you might learn something in college that you pass on, but we're actually concerned that if you don't have a college degree, this is what will go wrong. This is what we've been doing insufficiently for all these years. That, I think, is the million-dollar question, and that's the question everyone refuses to answer in this debate.
Thank you, Councilmember Christina Henderson and Robert McNamara from the Institute for Justice for being here today. I deeply appreciated that lively and clarifying breakdown of the issue, and I feel like we learned a lot.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yes, it was great to be with you.
And before you go, here's lead producer Priyanka Tilvey with the news.
The Inova healthcare system in Virginia has seen an unprecedented rise in patients thanks to the holiday season. Inova says they've seen a lot more people coming in with the flu, COVID-19, RSV, and other illnesses, and it's straining hospital capacity, especially emergency departments. So if you can, help them out. Get vaccinated, mask up, social distance, practice good hygiene, and most importantly, if you're sick, stay home and isolate. Meanwhile, D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton is pushing for a new memorial to honor formerly enslaved people in the city. It's meant to focus on district slaves' contributions to history, as well as their resilience and fortitude. A Senate committee will discuss the bill today, and it's already passed the House. And lastly, people living near Walter Reed Community Center in Arlington are considering suing the county over excessive pickleball noise. They're saying that the pickleball's constantly popping sound negatively impacts their quality of life. So they're calling on the county to take action. Or else.
That's all for today here on CityCast DC. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with your childcare provider. We'll be back tomorrow with even more news from around the city. Talk to you then.
Sorry, the joys of recording a podcast from home.
No worries. My cat likes to jump in too sometimes.